Blog Talk Radio.
And here are today's top stories of 1941. In a case brought by Congressman Arthur Mitchell, the Democrat from Illinois, the U.S. Supreme Court rules that separate facilities on railroads must be substantially equal. The 99th Pursuit Squadron, an all-Negro unit, was formed today, and the Tuskegee Training Program is established. They will fly more than 500 missions.
Y'all know what I was thinking?
Hello, YouTube. Hello, you guys. It has been a while since I've been on here, and I decided to come on here and sing one of my singles. The name of the song is called Keep Pushing. Share the video. Give me your thoughts. I hope that it encourages you. Here we go. It is available on all digital outlets. Share this video.
with all of my heart. Sing with all of my heart. Yes, I will. And I won't leave to my
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I truly, truly, truly like to apologize to everyone. I'm having technical difficulties and had to get the producer in here, and we had to do some shifting and moving things around, so I will not prolong any longer because I think we done lost about 6 or 7 minutes, but I will not cheat you. I promise you the Lord will not let me cheat you. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We just want to thank the Lord one more time. Amen. For his keeping power. Amen. For him being there for us all the way, all the way, all the way. When he keep pushing us, like I said earlier, he is the wind behind our back. He is the footsteps beside us, guiding us. He is the strength that pushes us forward. And when we're struggling and we're just don't think we can make it, amen. I'm going to take this time to give God thanks with prayer. Father God, we thank you for what you've already done. Now, Father God, we ask you to clear the atmosphere, clear our hearts and minds to receive thus saith the Lord. Father, we ask you to block out all distractions, God, in the name of Jesus. We know the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but he will not destroy what you have put together. He will not kill the minds of your people. He will not kill our desire to serve you. He will not be the factor at this time. Father, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We glorify you. We love you. We praise you. We worship and honor you and only you. Father, thank you for the beautiful day you've given us. Father, if there's anything we've done, said, or unpleasing to you, Father God, we ask you to forgive us. In your mighty son's name, amen. Hallelujah. Once again, I'd like to thank the first lady and the staff who came to quickly realize and that there was something wrong in the ministry. Amen. That's what, you know, God gives you good people, good staff to realize when something isn't working correctly or something isn't right. They jumped right on it. They moved right on it. Amen. And that's how we got to be for the Lord. When we're in the church and we see something ain't right, we get to praying. We get to finding out what the solution is or what the problem is so we can come up with a solution. Amen. Glory to God. Last week, we was in chapter 73 in the book of Psalms, and we was talking about their prosperity, their pride, and their presumptions. And I think we got up to maybe verse 8. Amen. Glory to God. And we're going to continue on our lesson, and we're going to be talking about the proclamation of Jesus, of the justice of God. Amen. We're going to talk about his perspective. We're going to talk about his judgment, and we're going to talk about his guidance. Amen. Glory to God. If you have your Bible, please go with me to the book of Psalms. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to continue, and I'm going to go to, are we going to be going right to verse 9? We're going to do some reading, we're going to do some studying, and we're going to do thus saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about pride at this point right now, because therefore pride cometh passeth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment, which was the sin of the devils and of our first parents and Sodom, and is the sin of the Antichrist, and which all of all sins is most hateful to God. This arises from at least increased by outward prosperity. Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Pride and fulfillment of bread went together in Sodom. And where it is the predominant sin or predominant, it binds as a chain such who are under the power of it, right? Who is a slave unto it? They're chained and feathered by it, tarred and feathered. It possesses them wildly. It shows itself in the several members of their bodies, in their eyes, their feet, their walk, their gait. You can almost tell by a person's body language, how they speak, how they talk, and their conduct and their behavior and in several actions of their lives. And it is rightly called the pride of life, or rather they bind it about themselves as a chain, fancying it to be an ornament to them. What sets them off and makes them look great in their eyes and other people that walks in pride, whereas the reverse is what is of great price and in high esteem with God and good men, namely the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit. Violence covers them as a garment, wicked men that are prosperous. Hear me out. Prosperous and proud are generally oppressive to others, and like bullies, and they very often open up in their acts of violence, which are as openly done and to be seen of all men as the cloth upon their backs and frequently the clothes they were about to wear or got by plunder or stole from someone or an oppression of someone else's. Christians, we are supposed to be separated people. We are not to be like the world. We are not to be like the world. We are in it. We are not to be like it. Amen. Verse 7 talks about their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish. Their eyes would gloat upon their luxuries, their cars and their houses and their jewels and their money and their all the things that they think is good seems to stand out from their fat and bloated faces compared to, if we go to the book of Job, go to the book of Job with me. We're going to talk about, matter of fact, stand Psalms real quick. Go to 17, and then we'll shoot right over to Job since we're already in Psalm. And go to 17:10. Hallelujah. They are without pity. Listen to their boasting. When you see people like that, start praying for them from afar. Start praying for change, because they're still souls and they're lost and they don't have an understanding. They think their ways are right. And it's our job. We don't have to beat them down to let them know that God loves them. We got to stop forgetting and taking God out of the equation. We're taking God out of the equation and try to fix everything. God is using us, sure, and he's given us wisdom. He's given us power. And we have to do it the way God say does it. Do it, because a lot of times them same people that we see like that, the first thing come out they our mouth is so prideful, so boastful. Oh, they don't know pride comes before destruction. No, what about prayer? What about Father, remove that thing? Father, they don't know any better. We are the light. Hallelujah. Verse 27 in the book of Job, chapter 15 goes, these wicked people are heavy and prosperous, their waist bulged with fat. And if you was with us last week, we talked about how sometimes you can get caught up in envying. You can slip envying the wicked. I don't like to use the word wicked, but the ungodly, the worldly person. We can get caught up by envying their what it seems like their riches. How is they prospering all the time? How is they always going on vacation? How come they don't never have bills? How come they never struggling? How come things always seem to be going right for them? But that's just outward stuff. God got a bigger plan for us, and us being envious of their stuff is not part of the plan. Amen. They have more than heart could wish, that they themselves could have wished for, but though not now, for what is it that a worldly person's heart cannot or does not wish for? If it had all the world, it would not satisfy it. See what I'm saying? They could have everything and still want more. Greed and in the wanting of more is not to help nobody else. It's not to share the wealth. It's not to share and the wisdom and tell somebody how they receive the wealth. It's just greed and pride and envy. We got to get to the point and say, okay, God, what you allowing me to have right now is more than enough. Because if he decided to take everything away, you wouldn't have anything. You know, some of us have nice cars. We have nice homes. Some of us have two cars. Some of us have great jobs. Some of us have our own business. Let what God give us, let it be enough, and let him decide when to give us more. Because guess what? He know when we need more anyway. And if you're not using it for the building of the kingdom of God, what you asking for it for? To be like the world? I got rings on every finger. I got number 12 here. You only got number 6. Mine never dry up. I got the best Bally's. I got the best car. I got the nicest house. I got a bathroom in every room. I got an elevator inside my house. All that stuff is nonsense. All that stuff is crap. because none of it belongs to us. And when you die, you ain't going to take it with you anyway. Amen. Verse 8, bothered by the profanity of the wicked as much as the pride and prosperity. They mock God, which means speak wickedly, and they mock Ashford for trusting God. And we're going to get scripture to back this up. But I remember when I first got saved, and I was at the mall, and there was this guy looking at the suit, and he didn't like the price. He didn't like the price of the suit, and he was like, God, I don't, what they think this is. They're going to charge me all that. And I was standing there listening to this guy, and something said to me, see, that's how you used to sound. And it sounded so nasty. That's what really got to me. That's how you know when your spirit is changing. When your spirit is changing, going more toward God, more toward the Lord, it starts changing. Everything, that those negative things that you used to do and those things that used to be cool and all right with you, you don't do them no more. You don't like them no more. My wife always say it vexes your spirit. Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of 2 Peter. We got a couple of scriptures I want to talk real quick about what we just read, because I like to try to back things up with scripture. Amen. Go with me to 2 Peter first. We got three scriptures we're going to go to. Hallelujah. Yes, God. This has been a beautiful day. The Lord has let the sun shine. The birds are singing. I mean, listen. Some people didn't get up this morning, and there's no use of us complaining. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Boy, I'll be glad when I get my glasses, Lord. Thank you. They brag about themselves with empty, foolish boasting, with an appeal to twisted sexual desires. They lure back into sin those who have barely escaped from a lifestyle of deception. They can lure the person who just ain't got away yet, who just ain't got away from deception yet, just ain't got away. They have a way of luring them back because they make them think. You know, me and my wife was watching a TV show, and they just kept making the church look so bad, and it was making the church look like we the worst people in the world. And I was saying, like, wow, when is somebody going to stand up for the church? How do they get the audacity to stand up and just say all these things? They made the pastor look like a murderer and a crook, and it was just weird. But the worldly people was the successful, doing everything right. And I was thinking, like, wow, we got to do something about this. Somebody, we got to get up and stand up for Jesus. We got to speak up when things are wrong. And in the book of Jude, chapter 16, verse 16. Hallelujah. It is hot in this studio today. I'm losing my mind. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Ain't that something? You know, I hope this don't come out wrong, but even in the church, you ever watch a person that God has anointed and blessed, and they can preach, they can teach. God has given power to heal. God has given them just so much understanding and wisdom and revelation. But they always say them and never say God. And I know people say, what they got to do? That's a bad habit, because you start taking God's glory. When you start saying, I did, look what I did, I'm this, I'm that, I am so blessed, I am so anointed. But you only that way by the glory of God, by his gifts unto you. It's not something you was just came out and you made yourself this great person. You got to remember who you was before you got saved and where you was then and how God changed you to where you are now. You didn't change yourself. Amen. The book of Revelation chapter 13, verse 6 says, and he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is those who dwell in heaven. And Ash was like, he was upset that they cussing God. And if you ever be around people and you know they're using God's name in vain and you don't correct them, I mean, people say, well, you got to mind your business. But as a Christian person, I just can't, after a while, you just can't even let people say, well, God ain't this, there is no God, F Jesus, this and that, that and that. Hey, listen, I just take whatever come with it, because if I was in the world, you getting other people's business, ain't got nothing to do with you. Because as soon as you hear somebody say something about somebody up the street, hey, man, that's my neighbor, you don't know them like that, you speak up for them. So why not speak up for Jesus, who wakes you up every morning, who feeds you every day, who gives you health and strength, who gives you wisdom, understanding, gives you wealth, gives us grace, gives us understanding. Why we can't stand up for him? It's not, we not, that don't make us, people try to trick you and say you're a holy roller. Yeah, well, I'm a holy roller for Jesus, because it is Jesus who wakes me up in the morning. It is Jesus who gives me strength. It is Jesus who gives me revelation. It is Jesus gives me the power and the understanding to get it through another day. I am nothing without Christ. I am nothing without the blood. I am nothing without my shepherd. Amen. Hallelujah. Verse 9, chapter 7, 3, verse 9. I'm going to go right down it, because I cheated you out some minutes, but I'm going to try my best. We might have to have a part 3. They set their mouths against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Tongue walketh through the insolent speech of the wicked can be heard anywhere one goes. We just got finished talking about that. This is even worse than the verses above. They were attacking men. Now they're speaking out against God. They are full of blasphemies. They are spread this stuff all over the place, everywhere they go. These are people who are sold out to the devil. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. And these evil people are speaking their own death into existence. This is a correct observation of the author of this book, of this particular chapter, chapter 73, the book of Psalms. And we got to be careful how what we speak into existence, what we speak into the atmosphere. We got to be careful to read the tongue. The tongue. There is life and death in the power of the tongue. We are to be speaking goodness. We ought to be speaking love and kindness. We ought to be speaking wealth. We ought to be speaking prosperity. We ought to be speaking hope. We ought to be speaking strength, power, understanding, glory. We ought to be speaking love to one another, even to our enemies. See, I can't help if you don't like me. I can't help if you don't understand me. My job is to do what God tells me to do. I'm not going to go tick for tack with you. You angry at me, I'm going to be angry at you. I'm not speaking to you, I'm not calling you. Nope, I'm going to continue to pray, because this might be the brother that be in the best spiritual warfare with me and for me. This might be the sister that has to pray you through. But we so get caught up in the ways of the world, you know, because a lot of us grew up, and, you know, I don't know everybody's background, but I know how I grew up. When it's on. You got some lip, I'm going to help you fatten your lip. But because I don't live like that, those are not the thoughts that even come to my mind. The thoughts should come to my mind even when I hear them speaking bad of Jesus. I rebuke the spirit, and I tell them, listen, brother, listen, sister, that is not good. Now, whatever they say to me, however they torment me and use those words at me, amen. But I had to stand in the gap for my father, not because he needs me, because I love him and I need him. Amen. Hallelujah. Yes, this is just the way I believe that God is building up such an army of people to work for him, to speak up for him, to really represent him. Amen. Mark 13:13, and ye shall be hated of all men, woo, for my name's sake. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And that's what it's about. So if we can be hated by someone else, we need to get that same person that's hating, we got to get them to the point where, And then someone's hating, and the cycle goes on and on, and before you know it, we're all being hated on, but we're all being hated on for Jesus' sake. And we're all going to endure this thing, and we're all going to be saved until the end of time. And what it's about for me, the soul, doing what it takes in a rational, wise, godly way. Amen. Notice the water was wrung out. Even though the cup was full, it came to them through great tribulation. Don't get me wrong. There are blessings God gives to his children here and now, but we should not expect them and base our relationship with him on how blessed we are. We should not do that. And I got scripture. Let's go to the book of Ephesians. Hallelujah. Thank you for this book that you call the Bible, Jesus. Whew. Boy, when I was in the world, I knew nothing about this book, and nobody wouldn't even lead me to it. I probably had been saved a long time ago, saved myself a lot of trouble, a lot of headaches, a lot of heartache. Hallelujah. Glory to his magnificent name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, 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 yes. Therefore, his people return hither. The water of a full cup are run out of them. Those who associate themselves with the wicked person drinking everything he declares. And that's in the book of Psalms, chapter 1. Hallelujah. See, we see that the believer comes to God with his needs. They look around them and see the worldly people prospering, and they are having to take the leavings. Christians do not despair. All of the wonders in heaven are ours, was yours, ours. There are blessings on this earth for us, but wonderful surroundings and blessings, too numerous to imagine, wait for the faithful. Amen. We got to remember that. We got to remember that. Hallelujah. Scripture in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I just wanted to share that, because I missed that earlier, amen. And I wanted to get us to understand what I was speaking of when I talk about the water and the cup, amen. Hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You know, I always hear my wife. That's probably one of her favorite scriptures. I always hear her saying that scripture. But, you know, we got to live these scriptures. And I'm not, see, when I talk, I'm not trying to say people are not living this way. I'm not trying to say that people don't know what they're talking about. I'm not trying to, you know, I'm trying to encourage. I'm trying to get us to understand that it's God's way or no way at all. Now, it's another way, but it's not prosperous. It's not wise. It's not everlasting. It's not going to endure. It's going to lead to disaster. Amen. We got to remember and remind ourselves that we belong to Christ Jesus. We are Jesus. We are the kinfolk of Abraham. We are Jesus' children, and everything that he promised Abraham comes to us. Everything that he said he was going to do, he's going to do. It may not see it. We might not see it right now, but he's going to do it. Amen. Down in verse 11, and they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Is there knowledge in the Most High? The wicked insist on living as if God is not optimistic, or he's not great, or he's not wise, and does not know what happens on earth. God is not blind. And the answer to the question is yes. Have you ever heard people say that only the simple-minded worship God? They do not know who God is or what he knows. They do not even believe in God. This is speaking of atheists who do not believe and God's existence. They believe in evolution. Evolution and the ultimate becoming theory of human existence. They believe in stuff like that. And you know, it's a terrible thing when you know something to be true and you want the other person to get the information, but they're stuck on what they believe and you know is headed them to a road of destruction. It's just like when you was a child and your mom or your father used to say, boy, stay away from that boy. That boy's trouble. He going to get you in trouble. You're going to be in jail, or stay away from that girl. She ain't no good. She's always stealing, and you're going to be stealing with her. Whatever the situation may be, it's the same thing. They give us a warning, but we don't take heed to the warning. We know what happens. And it might not be everybody, but it was me. So I can speak for that. Amen. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. So who say and do as before declared? Such as these must be without the knowledge of God, the fear, love, and worship of him, who prosper in the world and worldly and temporal things in their bodies and outward estates, but not in their souls and spiritual things. In this world, as the tagline is, all their prosperity is here. Their good things are in this life. Their evil things will be in the one to come. Though ungodly, hallelujah, though ungodly, they prosper in the world. And as long as they are in it, or they are at peace and case and are quiet, they have nothing to disturb them. They are not in outward trouble, and their sins do not distress them, and they have no concerns about another world. See, they think everything is good. Nothing bothers them. Nothing worries them. They have all the finances. They had the biggest homes. Everything is right. They help. Everything is going good. And because they don't believe there's a life after this, because they don't believe there's a heaven and a hell, they think everything is okay. They don't believe in the afterworld. They don't believe in the riches that God may have planned for them, stored up for them. Amen. They increase their riches. This is the impression which the psalmist has received from the general course of human affairs in his day. It is closely allied to the view taking. Now, let's go back to the book of Job, because Job can co-sign this. Amen. Job 20, chapter 21, real quick. And I keep, I don't know why that's keep going through my head. Hallelujah. I do not know. Okay. Hallelujah. Jesus, I need my eyes fixed. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I cannot see. Y'all, please bear with me. 20, chapter 21, verses 17, 7 through 15. Hallelujah. Oh, this has been a day. Job 21, 7 through 15. Why do the wicked prosper, growing old and powerful? They live to see their children grow up and settle down, and they enjoy their grandchildren. Their homes are safe from every fear, and God does not punish them. Their bulls never fail to breed. Their cows bear calves and never miscarry. They let their children frisk about the lambs. Their little ones skip and dance, just party and joyful all the time. They sing with tambourines and harps. They celebrate to the sound of the flute. They spend their days in prosperity, then go down to the grave in peace. And yet they say to God, go away. We want no part of you and your ways. Who is the Almighty, and why should we obey him? What good will it do us to pray? They think their prosperity is of their own doing, but I will have nothing to do kind of thinking. Wow. So when you're around those, you know, the part that really got me when it says, who is the Almighty? Why should we obey? Just look at everything they have. And just imagine if everything that God allowed them to have as sinners, imagine what they could have if they trust and believed in God. But I think when people start, see, serving God is a lifestyle. It's not always a good day, not because God don't like you, God wants to punish us, or God wants to hurt us, but God has to test us on a daily basis, because that's where, how we get built up. What can you go through when the war comes? Can I depend on you? When the enemy comes, can I trust and know that you're going to be there? When I start passing out the riches and the wealth, I need to know that you're going to do the right things with it. When I decide to give wisdom and power and laying of hands and allow my Holy Spirit to do things, to raise the dead and do these things in you, can I trust you to give me my glory? Can I trust you to make sure that you remember it's about me? Can I trust you with my treasures, with my gift, with my wisdom, with my understanding? Can I trust you? We're going to have a song, and we're going to come back, and we're going to allow that to just marinate a little bit, because, you know, we got to stop worrying about what the world is doing as far as their wealth and what it looks like they might have. And, oh, my God, they got this and they got that. We got to remember God owns everything, and he only allowed them to have what they want to have. And believe me, I'd rather have what God had for me in the after than if he give it to me right now. Because everybody say, well, I want mine right now. Yeah, I want most of it right now, but I don't want to give up my salvation for it. I don't want to give my relationship for it. I don't want to give up my place in hereafter for it. Amen. Amen. I don't know. I just love the God. I just love the Lord.
If I had the pleasure of bringing out Christ, this is just how I would do it. It ain't got to be the way you do it. You might not think it's just right, but this is how I would do it. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time after time. He hailed out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine, no special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet, put your hands together, and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Hallelujah. I did that for a reason. I it's always good to be refreshed. And everybody has their personal introduction of Jesus. Everybody has their personal relationship with Jesus, and everybody have their own perspective of Jesus, who he is to you. And I did that because it's just good to be reminded of his goodness and his mercy, his greatness and his love. And when I think about his love, I'm not saying that I'm there, but I'm on a journey to try to just love everybody. And everybody's love is going to be different. I'm not going to love you like I love, you know what I mean, this person. Everybody's love is going to be different, but it's going to be a godly love. You see what I'm saying? I just want us to get it. I just don't want us to be left out. I don't want no man to be left behind. This is so real. Heaven and hell is so real. Your salvation is so real right now. And we are in place to share it with the world. I don't care if you don't like what I say. You can spit at me. You can call me names. Oh, I remember you used to do this. Okay, all that comes with the territory. But is God pleased with me doing his work, or should I sit back in the background and watch the other soldiers go to work? Because if they getting shot at, I want to get shot at too. They give us bullets. We're going to re-up. We're going to reload. I'd like to thank the staff of MCI Ministry Radio, who's doing such an outstanding job. Everybody has a, you know, I sit and listen to the shows, and I listen to all the food, and I listen to all the information we have. And it's just a blessing to be part of such a good team, such a great team, such great different anointings, different wisdom, different outlooks. But they're all from the Bible. It's all godly, it's all love, it's all wonderful, and it's all nourishing to the spirit. And they are great teachers, and they're great believers of Christ, and they're great followers of Christ. And I don't say it enough, but I applaud you guys. I love you guys with the love of the Lord, and I pray for outstanding wisdom. I pray for continuous blessings. I can pray for continuous anointing. I pray that the grace and the glory of God just engulf you every day, and I pray that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Bishop Thurman Butler of Undisputed Truth, who's on Tuesdays at 6, Lady Thelma Butler, weekly word workout, Miss Lady T of Undisputed Truth, hallelujah, Apostle Carolyn McNeil, MCI Ministries on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m., God bless you all. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for coming on board. Thank you for being a part of what God is putting together. Thank you all for your sacrifices, for your boldness to walk and trust God to use us. And I just want, listen, please bear with me. I went to the doctor today, and they didn't put like 16 different kind of eye drops, and one was yellow, one was blue. Listen, I'm seeing smoke where there is no smoke. I can't go outside. It seems like light just destroys my eyesight at this point. And I'm really trying to read, and I know God is allowing me to read and see these things. But I just want to say this thing to the staff, because I sat here today and I wrote some things down, because I want the staff of MCI Ministry Radio to be appreciated. I want them to know that they're appreciated by my actions as well as saying it. I want to give you your flowers now on a daily. I don't want to wait till you go to glory. I want you to know that Pastor McNeil appreciates you. Pastor McNeil appreciates your sacrifice, your time, your sweat, your prayers, your fasting, your sacrifices. I appreciate you. And so I wrote down this, and it was meant to be a prayer for the staff. And it says, Father, cease the warfare in our minds and destroy the deceit, dishonesty, and the deception in our hearts, if there is any left. Block the devil with a spiritual roadblock. Let the power of your blood redeem all truth and honesty in us. Establish new unity with us, Father. Take us behind the veil where depression, cancer, and all impurities and things that's not like you can find us. Lord, cease Satan. Cease his ways. Cease his tricks. Cease him, Father, that he can't touch us. The warfare that we're in, Father, we're in it for you. Take us behind the veil where you are, Father, and keep us. Keep my staff, Father. Keep your people and your servants. And I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. That is dedicated to my staff. And I say it, I will be saying it on a daily basis for myself. I will be saying it. I will be praying for you guys. I will be asking God to keep you guys, to continue to empower you, impact you, to block all stumbling blocks, because you're on a roll and you're doing greatness. And I know that the enemy is in the winds lurking. He's in the trees, and he's in the bushes, and he's in the manholes, and he's in other people's hearts, and he's in other people's prayers, and he's in other people's minds, and he's in other people's eyes. But we're going to rebuke those things. We're not, listen, there will be nothing to get in the way of God's servants. I'm trusting and believing God for a fresh wind. I'm believing God for a fresh understanding in us, that he will put words of power and enlightenment in us, so when people hear them, the words are anointed and they will touch that place in them that has been halting them from getting closer to God. We're in a place now, we're bringing them in. We're lures, we're fishermen. And I'm asking God for the right bait. I'm asking God to give us the right bait. I'm asking God to give us more of him. Let his blood be the thing that he used in our lives. Let it cover us daily. Let it cover us when we're asleep. Let us have peaceful dreams. Let us have interpretations of newness. Show us the way, Holy Ghost. Show us what you have designed already. Show us the direction to move in. Show us when to sit still. Show us when to be bold. Show us your way, God. We are your servants. We are blessed with assignments from the Most High God to do a work for the Most High God. I don't work for Obama. I don't work for the mayor. I don't work for the governor. I don't work for the chief. I don't work for the king. I don't work for the queen. I work for the Almighty God, who is the overseer of all things, the creator of everything that's good. And because he created us good to do a goodness and to do a good work. And I'm trusting and believing that he will answer prayers of the righteous. Here stands your servant, God, coming before you. Answer my prayers for my people, God. Use them, God. Keep us, Father. We ask you, Father, for that fresh wind. Let it blow and blow and blow. To Satan's house fall down. We need you and us to do the work in your world so your people will know you and come to you and be of you. We don't worry about what we don't have. We're not worrying about what they have. We're worrying about what we're doing for you. We want to be in place. We want to be amongst the numbers, God. We want to be your people, and we thank you, God, for our health, our strength, our children, our grandchildren, our servants, the people that's in our churches and the people that's in our communities, our next-door neighbors, even our enemies, God. We ask you to show us how to snatch out that thing that makes them an enemy and bring them closer to you and that you have your way. This has been your Fix at 6, and I have been your host, Pastor Keeping It Real McNeil. I hope and pray that we get an understanding and let the Lord do it. I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a song. Father God, yes, I came to you boldly on this evening with requests that I know will be answered already. So, Father, I thank you in advance for the answering of my prayers. Now, Father, keep me in position to do your will. Keep me in position to serve. Keep me in position to be a great husband. Keep me in position to be a great pop. Keep me in position to be an honorable man of God. Show me how to pastor the way you want me to pastor. Show me how to speak the way you want to speak. Guide my footsteps so they will not go any place you don't want them to go. Use me, oh God. I surrender. I am yours to do as you please. And whatever you see fit for my life, so shall it be. I thank you, and I've said these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
I would like you to help me just welcome this great worshiper by the name of Jekaylin Carr.
As this song is playing, I want the people to know that I did not forget you. That was just in my heart to let my staff know that they are appreciated. But I pray the Lord that you keep them in your perfect peace, that you carry them throughout the night, God, that you let no harm come to them. I pray for a hedge of protection around their hearts, their minds, and their spirits, God. Because God, you know their true needs. And I thank you in advance. Bless them, God. Bless them, Father. Answer their prayers, God. Give them the peace of my heart. Let their heart decide as long as lined up with your perfect will.
But from now on, I want you, I want you, I want you to
Amen.
Do it, Lord. Your will be done in me. So wrong. Oh, yeah. Just like the prodigal son. Oh, Jesus, here is my prayer. Oh, I thought it was right.
Oh, God bless and good night.